Hey, so today on Vulnerable, I have Raven Gates Gottschalk, and she is such a sweetheart. I cannot wait for us to talk about all things Bachelor and Baby.
I'm Christy Carlson Romano, and this is the Vulnerable Podcast.
Raven, thank you so much for taking the time today. Like, this is very cool. The last time we spoke, I think you were just getting married. It was like right before, right?
Yes. It was like such a good conversation with you too. I was so excited to have you on my podcast at the time.
Yes.
I've moved on since then, but it was
Are you busy? You're just a little busy, right?
I'm just too busy.
It's true, man. Podcasts are kind of hard. I mean, now you can you probably understand like more than anyone. It's very hard to balance this stuff, you know, and with you, it's like, you've got all the branding, you've got so much going on. I'm so excited to like get into all of that and how you've built this presence online. And I'm sure you have tons of fans, me being one of them, by the way.
Aw, you're so sweet. That's like, I would die if I thought like in my childhood, I would be talking to you. I would absolutely be dying. I am dying.
That's very, and I was remembering that too from like our podcast conversation. I remember I was like, I think she was a fan, and I guess that makes sense. But you know what's crazy? So Bachelor, I was always kind of like confused, and you may be my first, you definitely are my first bachelorette, like person, Bachelor Nation, Bachelor Paradise, like that's it. I'm really excited to talk to you because I respect you first and foremost.
Thank you. So sweet.
I was really confused growing up, not growing up, but like having that whole like girl power thing like drilled into me. I went to like a female college, and it was like the whole like, you know, feminist kind of concept there. So I originally went into like hate watching The Bachelor.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. And I think a lot of people do that because it's good entertainment for those that really believe the story of love and like finding your Prince Charming or princess or whatever. And then also just hate watching, and you drink wine and you talk crap with your friends about all the girls.
Well, so here's the thing. And this is where I think that the good side of my feminist side was like coming out. I hate watched it only for the first like one or two episodes. And then I was of course hooked, right? Because of the editing. And they're so smart. They know what they're doing. It's way more narrative, which I'd love to get into too, than people realize. But it's like, yeah, I mean, I was hooked at the resilience that the women had, because they really were, you know, everyone there was putting themselves out there equally. And being, you know, vulnerable. And, you know, I remember connecting to your character because I felt like you were really wholesome and authentically you. And you were like, this is, 100%. Like, I was rooting for you till the very end. Like, when you, and this is how I didn't even put two and two together, to be honest. And then I was like, oh my gosh, she's my girl. Like, I loved her so much. Like, this was honestly the one like main season that I sat down and watched and was like actually invested in. So I've had that experience of being like the fan specifically of you. Anyway, I digress.
Oh, thanks. Yes, it's really like a social experiment, and you get to watch this crazy social experiment happen. Okay. And it's definitely how you handle yourself through that social experience is how you kind of get portrayed, you know?
Okay, so let's talk about, because like on Vulnerable, I really like to start at the beginning, just in general, and like what led you to make certain decisions and the journey, and then, you know, eventually catching up and going from there to present day. But like, you know, it's like a lot of people know you from, you know, the show, but that's not really enough for me. Can you talk to me more about like where you're from? Did you want to be sort of in the entertainment industry? Did you not really understand what that was like? You know, who inspired you? Like all that stuff of growing up.
No, I'm from a small town of 2,000 people, and I come from like very humble beginnings. And really, it wasn't until college and my back was up against a wall that I made some life-changing decisions. And I was very comfortable in my hometown. I knew mm-hmm. everyone, everyone knows you. And it's just like a really, honestly, it's like a precious way of living. I feel like, because mm-hmm. it's like a community and I loved it.
Yeah.
But what led me to go on The Bachelor was, I was in my first year of law school. Uh-huh. I was in my first committed relationship.
Uh-huh.
And all in the same week, I found out that my dad had lung cancer, and he had, at the time, given 3 months to live.
Yeah.
And then I walked in on my first love having sex in our bed with another woman.
You guys live together?
Yeah. The same, all this happened the same week. That and sucks. I had law school finals.
No, that's the worst part. That's the worst. No, it's not actually the worst part. I'm sorry. Not the father part. I remember when my dad was diagnosed with his stage 4, cause it had come back, and it was a really, 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 that's crazy, Raven. And I want to talk about that. Cause like, wow. So you're coming from a place of sort of being very sheltered and like,
yeah, very naive.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you have considered yourself sheltered at that time?
You know, my parents really wanted me to experience life. Like, they mm-hmm. did everything they could to get me out and, like, mm-hmm. to see the world and, like, get out and envision life different. And
got it.
Both of them were so, with the means that they could,
got you.
Showed me other things.
Got you.
And so I always felt like I could go anywhere, do anything,
gotcha.
Be anybody.
You didn't feel stuck.
I never felt stuck.
Yeah.
But in that moment I did, because it was almost like a part of my innocence was gone. Like,
for sure.
That feeling you have of your first love, and then finding mm-hmm. out that that was all in your head. That was not your first love. That's like not even a thing. He doesn't even view me as his mm-hmm. love. And then also, when you're young, you take for granted your parents, and mm-hmm. in that moment it was mm-hmm. done. I was never going to take for granted my parents ever again. Like, there mm-hmm. were just so many. And so I quit law school, went home mm-hmm. to take care of my dad and be with him in his final months. Yeah. Thankfully, I find out on The Bachelor that he's in remission, which is bizarre.
That's amazing. Yeah.
But that led me to start my own business, because mm-hmm. I had moved home. I had no mm-hmm. money. And mm-hmm. I mean, everything good in my life has happened because my back was up against the wall and I had to make a move.
Interesting. So then, okay, there's so many ways to unpack this, because so many people want like the tidbits of info. And I feel like you're probably used to having to like boil down these like really like traumatic events into like these bite-sized things for people to click on or like be this. And truth be told, it's like sometimes we'll take a piece out for the podcast and like show people and be like, hey, click on it. And like, I get it. Like, that's a part of this like media training that everybody's trained to do. What I've always enjoyed about having convos is that authenticness. And I feel like you're a person that really is very much herself. And it's one of those things where it's like, so the thing about you being sort of split into three there, it's really fascinating to me to unpack it a little bit more, because it's what got you on The Bachelor.
Yes,
like, it's the whole reason like you did it, right? So
absolutely.
So like, you find this guy doing this horrible thing with this hussy. And then, although I'm not trying to hate on her, but like, she's a hussy.
No,
And then, and then your priorities are literally split into three, because nobody goes to law school and is like, you know, is it hard? Like, it's hard. Like, it is hard.
Yes.
And so, you know, you must have been extremely like, you were in it. I don't know if this person, if was your ex like in law school with you? Is that what?
No, he was a doctor. So he had his own thing. Yeah. He was.
But still, it was like, you literally had three roads you could have gone down.
Totally.
You could have tried to make it work with him for some weird reason, which I'm so glad you didn't. Yes. You could have been like, I'm not going to be with you. I'm going to just focus on school. But what made you decide, besides him and it being probably very stressful with the finals and everything, was there like a calling? Did you pray on it? Like what really guided you in that moment to like kind of do something different or make that choice?
I truly think it was divine intervention in my life to pull back the ropes. It was like I was riding a horse and we were going, you know, 90-0, full speed. And it was like God had just ranked the reins on me and said, whoa.
Yeah.
You got to flip this upside down and this is not your destiny. And I feel like had these horrible things not happened back to back to back, that I would have continued on a path that was not for me. That was not what I was supposed to do. That was not who I was supposed to be with. Yeah. And I mean, you know, the song, God Bless the Broken Road.
Yes.
That I love that song. My song because I feel like every broken road led me to my husband. It led me to my baby, you know, every broken thing in my life was for good. You know, it was like ashes into beauty. And it's so hard to see that when you're in it.
Yes.
And then once you get past it, you're like, thank God, what was I thinking? Like if I could have only seen what I now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 100. Like what advice would you give to yourself now? To that girl then? Is there anything that you would think you would want her to know? Or do you feel like you did it right? And like you did the best thing you did for yourself?
I think there's so much that I would go back and tell myself to try to prevent what had happened. And I wouldn't want to do that because like I said, I think I was just full steam ahead. And all of the bad choices that I made, I wouldn't take them back because it propelled me into the future a little bit. better than before. It took away my innocence and my being so naive, the things that I went through during that season, but it also made me into the person that I am. I needed that growth in my life that I hadn't had before, you know?
100%. Were you just like super type A, like working super hard and like getting through college and then it's like bam, 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 like you kind of were in that mode?
I was always the type that like I told my mom when I graduated high school that I didn't think I was smart enough to go to college.
Okay.
And my mom is like, that's kind of bizarre because now you're going to law school. Like I always underestimated myself, but it was like I always had to prove it to me that I could do it.
Interesting.
And I never believed myself. I never had that. I envied people that had that self-confidence. I never, ever had that. And some of those things made me have that self-confidence, you know, some of the bad things I went through made me pull myself up by the bootstraps and like get on with my life, move forward.
Yeah. That resilience. It's sometimes a lot of it is, you're right. A lot of it is fake it till you make it. And
it is. I just told a friend, we have two friends staying with us. And I told her, I don't think anyone knows what they're doing. Like even professional people, I don't think they know what they're doing. They're just faking it till they make it.
100%. You know what? That's a really good point. Cause like the algorithms and like the everybody's like, oh, follow me for more inspo and like everything I know. And it's like, it's all snake oil. Like it's true.
It is. Yeah, it totally is. It's like Rihanna says, you don't feel like a bad, you know, bee every day, then you fake it. Yeah, that's what I do. I fake it, Rihanna.
Yes, Who knows? Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with faking being a bad bitch. That's 100%. I agree.
Yes.
Girl, you are throwing me, like, that is good. That is
all
very good
advice. I know,
sorry.
I feel
advice.
Like I'm like, just
No, that's what this is for. Please. No, please. You know, usually it's like we can be in person and you know what's crazy. So I just want to mention how we met. It was through social media and it was through the podcast, but it had also been, I think we had done a giveaway together or something, right?
Yes, it was a giveaway. Okay. Yes.
We did some giveaways and it was one of the last ways that Instagram was like, and people were trying to grow a bit, was doing these giveaways. Right. Cause it was kind of during the pandemic and people were wanting to like get some, you know, Amazon gift cards and it was like really helpful. So a lot of like mom influencers and other influencers were getting together and everybody was just trying to help out. And it was a lot of fun. I remember that being a really, you know, popular giveaway, but the best part
people loved it
to come out of it was that, you know, we got to chat on Girls Night.
Yes. And that is such a good episode. I think that episode is still really? Up. In, yes. And it is so good. It's one of my favorite episodes because you were vulnerable in that podcast too. It was so good. So everybody needs to, it's called Girls Night. I'm not on there any longer. My friend still is, but you were awesome. I just really love that podcast.
Oh, thank you. I think for a while, you know, so many people, they, like I said, they want to boil down your experience when they know you for one or two things. And so for me, like I can relate to your experience of like growing and like having people understand your point of view on things and like who you are, because you have been through so much and you're not just like trying to brand that, you know, as much as you're trying to brand like the happiness in your life and the joy.
Totally.
And some people think that's all there is. And it's nice to have a way, like the podcast is a way to like really like tell people about like the journey.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's just like the YouTube and, podcasting, it's like an outlet to like for people to get to know you better, because that's also how you get genuine, you know,
engagement.
Genuine conversations and engagement. Yeah.
Yeah. And like you can get to know the people that support you. And since there are so many people out there, it's like you can find your niche.
Yeah.
Being who you are. Like being yourself is actually valuable. And
yes.
Right? What do you
And you're gonna be you're like gonna be misunderstood no matter what. Like no one's ever going to like you're never gonna win the audience 100%. But if you can find a few of those people that really support you and you can talk to and have like that true engagement with, it really feels like you're doing something helpful, even though you're just being yourself.
Yes, like, I'm 100% where you're at with that right now. I really, truly am. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is, I guess we're moving forward in our little journey here. And so we throw him to the curb. We forget about him. And then we move over to dad. And then the audition comes into play. Like, how does that happen? Did somebody like send you the link? Were you watching it? Were you a fan?
Honest to goodness, I had never watched a season full through. I would like every once in a while, a girlfriend would be like, let's have a wine night and talk crap, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, it kind of came full circle too, because the episode I watched was Ben Higgins with JoJo and Becca. And I just love them so much. And now I'm friends with them. It's just so bizarre how it works. But I was just at JoJo's wedding. It's like so crazy. Like I thought she was like the best. And I actually was, had started a business and I was starting to reconnect with my ex.
Uh-oh.
And I thought to myself, I cannot get back in this situation.
Interesting.
How do I get out? How do I get out of this situation?
Oh,
and
man.
I have no idea why. I thought, out of all the things I could have done, I'm like, I should apply to go on The Bachelor. And I did.
Wow.
That
That's
is
really
how I applied myself. And I just, you know, they wanted a video interview and I wasn't stupid. I had no like, TV experience or anything, but I wasn't stupid. Like they wanted someone that had an interesting story. Mm. And I thought, you know what? All these bad things are happening to me. Everyone would find out anyway, if I was on TV, let me just tell it in my audition interview for better, for worse.
Right.
I quit law school. I opened a business, walked in on my boyfriend and my dad has lung cancer.
Yeah.
And I get on the show, you know,
you're like, I was authentically myself and it was my niche. Yeah. 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 Well, yeah, it's kind of funny because I don't know if you've seen these SNL skits. Have you seen them?
Yes. Yes.
Did you like crack up laughing when you watched it, or were you like a little triggered?
No, I thought it was so funny because you have to laugh at it. You have to laugh at yourself. And like being on TV, especially like The Bachelor, you're a caricature of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it truly is like you were saying, there's only like slices people see. It's not like the whole pie of a person.
Right.
And
right.
so you have to laugh at those skits and stuff because it is probably what people view you as, you know, like a Southern talking like, where's my wine? You know, top girl is probably what they see me as. You know?
See, the one I saw on SNL was actually, it was probably a more recent one then, because it was all of the girls were actually just from LA. And they were all actresses. They were all actresses, yes. And they were like from LA. And I was like, has it become more of that, I feel like, over time?
Yes, I do feel like our group of girls was the last set of girls that really, now were some of them on there to get the fame? Yeah, but I think there were a lot of my girls that were really wanting to find love. And I think that was the last season of that many girls actually thinking they're going to fall in love.
Yeah. Hey, respect. And like, actually, I have to ask, I mean, like, okay, so like, what was the experience like? Yeah. I mean, look, Nick's a really good looking guy. He's like, obviously very good looking guy.
He's even more handsome in person. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, he looks like that actor from those, oh my gosh, you know who it is. He's that actor from those movies with Shailene Woodley. What was those movies?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly who you're talking about. Oh my gosh, what is his name? He is super
hot. Right? Yeah, he looks like him. And I think he's in The Time Traveler's Wife right now. Maybe Elizabeth can Google him for me and I'll tell you his name.
Yes, agreed.
But yeah, like he has that look about him. And then you're like, oh, he's got the puppy dog eyes and like the light hair and like, you know. And his whole story, right, was that like he hadn't found love in like the previous seasons.
Fourth time's the charm or something, I think they said.
You're like,
So
like, you know, what's so funny is that people always ask me if I'm still in touch with like Shia. So I'm sure that so many people are still like, oh, so are you in touch with Nick? And it's like, is that annoying?
No, like, I wouldn't say we're in touch, but we're friendly. Yeah. And like when I got engaged, he sent, which I thought was so extremely nice of him, he sent two bottles of wine and champagne to my house, like to celebrate.
That was classy.
Yeah. I always had a really fun time with Nick and I have nothing really bad to say about him. And we really never talked until like the pandemic. We had never spoken to each other. So I think there's a few like podcasts he did where he was kind of bad mouthing me, but I'm like, you've never talked to me. Like, you don't know
you that well.
And then we had a conversation and he was like, oh, I didn't know. I'm like, yeah, I know you didn't know. Like, you know, like, but it's all relative to your experience. Right. So I think he just,
well, that's not good that he was doing that, but it's like, did he really know you that well with the time that you guys spent together, or was it more or less like guided dates? Right. Yeah. It's kind of hard to do that.
I spent way more time with Adam, my husband who I met on Paradise than I did with Nick the whole season. And I was with him for like probably a solid 2 weeks. And I spent more time with him, which is 24 hours, you know, so that's a lot of time if you're dating in the real world. So you get to the questions fast. Like, do you want kids? What do you believe in? What's your religion? Where do you work? Like, you get through those so you can move on to the next or like try to make it work. So I actually have more time with Adam on Paradise than I ever did with Nick, but every time I will say Nick and I just had a lot of fun. We like every date we went on, everything we did was really fun. I don't think there was like that romantic connection. We were just like, we just had so much fun.
Yeah. And then I think probably coming off of it though, a lot of people talk about like what it's like on, and of course they do their like, you know, reunion episodes or you guys talk about the show itself. But I'm always more interested about like what's life like immediately after, like when I left Disney, or like, you know, it's like, what was life like for you? Were you kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to go back to work. I'm going to go back to my business. My dad's in remission.
Yeah,
like, what was that like?
I had a really hard time because like I said, I come from a town of 2,000 people. And then all of a sudden overnight, I had a million followers. I was just like so lost and depressed almost because I had so much love and so much hate all at the same time. Like, I was talking to one of the executive producers at one time. We were wrapping up filming and I said, like, how many people watch the show? Like, I didn't even know. And he said, oh, let me look. He's like on his phone. Oh, it's projected to be 18 million this season.
Oh my God.
I like had a panic attack because I was like 18 million. Like my brain can't even process that. Like I had never been out of the country until being on the show. Mm. Like this was just bizarre to me. And so when I came off of the show, it was really hard because we're not made for so many people to love us and to think like we're God. And then so many people to hate us and think we're the absolute devil. Like it is a bizarre, like mind twister, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. No, absolutely. That's crazy.
And one of my producers told me, and I remembered this during this moment, he said, your life is about to change. You don't realize it yet, but I want you to always remember that you're not as bad as what they say you are. And you're not as good as what they say you are.
That's interesting.
He said, keep the balance. And I haven't always remembered that. Everyone that sings your praises, you know, you're not that good. And everyone that gives you all the hate, you're not that bad. So that helped me kind of navigate that. Those words kind of.
Dang, that's really good. That's really good. I've never heard that before. And that is very good. I also find that interesting that the producer told you that. Was it a male or a female?
A male.
Interesting. Were the producers pretty kind to you over the years? Like where did you get to see the same producers? Was it kind of like a little family that way?
Yeah, I had the same producers and one of the producers, executive producers left and now he is a writer for like Netflix shows and things like that. So it's like really cool to still be in touch with him because this is a side of a world I didn't know existed. And now I have a direct contact. It's like so cool.
Oh yeah.
And then the producers are actual like one-on-one producers I still talk to this day. Yeah. They were very instrumental in Adam and I having a relationship, I feel like.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. I have a really great idea and I want to tell it to you, but I don't want to tell it to you here because somebody might take it because it's such a good idea, but it's about like Netflix. That's all I'm going to say. That's all. Okay. And then we'll talk about it offline. Yes. Okay. So it was hard. And so you moved back home or did you realize you had the influence and you were like, I'm going to get out, I'm going to monetize. Like, what was that transition like then?
Yeah, I came home, went back to work because I had a business and people started showing up to the point, like I was exhausted every day. I was crying every day. I was like, what have I gotten myself into? Like, I'm just not cut out for this. Yeah. And, I kind of went straight the same year that the show aired, I got sent off to Paradise. So that's when I met Adam. So I think the show wrapped up like on air in April. Okay. Like that. And then I was on the beach in June where I met Adam.
Okay. So we're now meeting Adam and I'm sure that was a probably interesting experience.
So one of the producers told me, he said, he invited me to his home and he said, don't get into a relationship with anyone because we're planning on making you the next Bachelorette.
Get out of town. Does everybody know this or is this exclusive?
No, this is exclusive. I've never told it. This came
Oh my God, we have an exclusive. Oh my God. Thanks, Raven. I would have watched that show.
Right. And that was one of the executive producers told me that.
Yeah.
And so he's like, just have fun. We'll take care of you. Just don't get into a relationship. Well, Christy, it was like divine intervention, something in my spirit. This was like a spiritual moment in my life told me, stick with Adam. This is your soulmate. And I could not break up with him and I could not get away from him. Not in like a toxic way.
I know what you mean.
A spiritual way. It was like God himself was telling me, you better not break up with him. And thank God I didn't, because you know what happened? Becca and Ari had just split and he proposed to his runner up. So they gave the lead to Becca. But I had already decided at this point that I was going to stick with Adam. So it was like, I don't know if it would have ever happened, but
Becca is sassy. I follow her on social. She was part of, I think she was part of that giveaway. And she is so sassy.
I think she was actually.
Yeah, I think she was, because that's how she came onto my radar. And I was like, all these beautiful ladies. Oh, wait, I know her. So since the giveaway, I followed Becca and I've seen her stuff. And I'm like, oh, she's sassy. Oh, she cut her hair. Oh, she's so sassy. Yeah. And I like her, but she's totally different vibes. Yeah. And she would be, I guess, great to chat with too. I mean, it's so interesting. It must be for you guys to keep in touch with each other. And it's interesting. How do you guys usually keep in touch with each other? Is it through Instagram, or do you guys have like a text chain or?
Yeah. Coming off the show, we had like a huge group chat, and Adam still has his group chat. It's called the Rose Boys. And it's like, it has some piping hot tea in that group chat. I'm sure it does dive into that.
That would be its own podcast. There should be their own podcast for sure.
But throughout the years, like it's also hard because everyone lives all over the country, right? So it's very hard to see everyone. But, you know, when we go out to LA, we see our LA friends. When we're here in Texas, people come visit us if they have like a stop before they go on to the next destination. So that's kind of how we do it.
Yeah, it's just like a family. It kind of just becomes that way.
Yeah, because once you go through this weird thing, it's like hard not to, you know, like no one else knows how it was. It's like very strange.
I do know how you feel, in a Disneyfied version of that.
Exactly.
Which, speaking of, does the alcohol really impair the contestants' judgment enough to like be like physical with one another? Or is that like just something they kind of make you think is like?
No, it's 100% a thing. And during my season of Paradise, we had this big scandal happen and they shut down production and sent us back to the States.
I remember that.
Yeah.
He hooked up with, oh my gosh.
From that point forward, they limited two drinks an hour. I think it was one or two drinks an hour. And I was like, some celebrities would like come to the house.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe I'm saying this is the first time I'm admitting this.
You don't have to. We can cut it out. We have promised.
No, I'll say it. She'll probably think it's funny. Amanda Seyfried came to the mansion.
Fun. Yeah.
And when I got off the show, I saw that she followed me. And I was like, oh my gosh, Amanda Seyfried, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And I messaged her and I was like, oh my gosh, it's so nice, whatever, you're following me. She's like, yes, it was so nice meeting you in the mansion. You're the only one I truly remembered and like followed. And I was like, I was blacked out. I never met her. She met this other side of me.
Because there was this other side of you.
I have never met her.
Who is she? She's Raven with an I.
Yeah. Raveen or something.
Raveen, yeah.
And I just thought, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I can't remember meeting her. But that's how much alcohol was flowing at all times. At all times.
Interesting. I wonder why that is. I can't imagine it's to hurt you guys. I think it's more or less just to keep the anxieties at bay.
No, I think it's for the entertainment purposes, because in my opinion. Really?
I want to believe the best, right? Like I want to try.
I know. I do think entertainment. Yeah.
Okay.
It's for entertainment for sure.
Dang. Okay. But you had fun, right?
I had so much fun. The parts I can remember were great. But it was, I had a lot of fun. And I also took being on the show as like a spring break that I'll never get back in my whole life. I don't have to work. Yeah. I don't have my phone. I'm going to like go all out. And I did. So
yeah, good for you.
I do not drink like that anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Well, once you become a mom too, it's like, you're like, what do they call it? I don't even know, but it's like you have a couple drinks and you're done.
Yeah.
And so,
exactly.
I mean, for me too, like, I think I might've mentioned this on Girls Night, like, I kind of did the whole binge drinking thing through my 20s. So by the time I was pregnant, and I was just like, I think I'll be done now. So
yeah,
like ever since
totally.
I got pregnant, I mean, the thing is like, I have no problem with other people drinking. Like I actually love it. Like I love it for them, especially if they're doing it in a way that's like fun and like no one's getting hurt and they're not
having
feeling
a good
like
time. Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm totally, like, I'm the one that loves that energy because then I can be sillier too. Like,
yeah,
I can match
of course.
That, you know?
Yes, yes.
I'm perfectly fine with it. So sometimes I find it kind of, it kind of breaks my heart if people are like, oh, are you okay that I'm drinking? I'm like, please, it's okay, you know?
Yes,
but,
yes.
But like, for real, like, how, so now I want to guess go keep going in terms of the timeline where y'all met. And I remember reading articles where you were like, well, he's from California and he's very different from me. And yeah. I'm this small town girl.
In every way.
Okay. So how different from like Nick though was he? Or was Nick just completely not even comparable? Because Nick was like his own batch of crazy.
I felt like Nick was very shut off from the process because he had done it so many times. Like us as first contestants were more naive to the process, and he knew the producers and how it worked. He knew how you could be edited, and he knew too much to be.
Yeah. To actually fall.
Yeah.
Like for real.
Mm, yep.
That's
yep.
tough. That's tough. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I guess you can understand now, like going through like what that experience must be like.
Absolutely.
To have to second guess everything, especially as a guy, like I gotta think, and I wonder how your husband feels about this. Like as a guy, is it emasculating to go on The Bachelor? Even though you have all these women like throwing themselves at you, other guys in their jealousy or their ignorance of, you know, cause they say they don't watch the show and then they're like,
they
watch the show, glue, 100% hooked. I wonder how, was that hard for him to experience over time too? Like how did he not shut himself off when he met you?
He was very worried that it would affect his work. And I think that's like why a lot of the men quit their jobs, because their work does not want that attached to their company. And what was great was that Adam is in commercial real estate. So people don't call him and like, hey, I watched the show. Can you sell this, you know, Target for me or whatever it may be?
Yeah.
Like they don't do that. And his boss was super supportive. So when he got on the show, so when we had the shutdown, the big scandal on my season, all of us girls had taken off from work. So we just went to Dallas, which was central. And we met up with everybody, and I met Adam here in Dallas, and we had there was like this weird connection, like spark. And we got the call to go back on the beach. And I think that initial spark was what made us both kind of be like, hey, we need to figure out what this was in Dallas, you know?
Smart. How funny. And now you're in Dallas all over again.
I know. It's like deja vu.
That's really crazy. Why? Wait a minute. Why? So why Dallas again? Why are you guys back in Dallas?
Well, Adam has lived here for 10 years. He grew up in LA, but he's lived here 10 years. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, as much as he's grown up in California, I've been here in Austin for almost not even two, and I still love Texas. So Texas pride, it becomes a thing like really quickly for people who are here.
Everything's bigger and better in Texas, yes.
Yeah, I mean, for real though, like when you go to the, where we have HEB, do you guys have HEB?
Not in Dallas, we don't.
Okay, so it must be an Austin thing, but people love their HEB here.
Yes.
And like, even if you go to wherever, they'll have, well, this is a regular potato, an organic potato. This is a Texas potato.
Yes.
It's so funny. And it makes sure it has the state of Texas on the potato.
Absolutely.
So you know.
Absolutely. I love that.
It is. They're loud and proud. And, you know, if you live here, you got to just join into the chorus,
you,
I guess.
You can't beat them. You got to join them. That's right.
Exactly. I mean, you guys, you hit it off in Bachelor in Paradise. It's another spring break for you guys.
Yes.
And then like, obviously you guys you're hinged together at that point. Did you guys, forgive my ignorance on this, but did you guys actually get engaged at the end of that?
No, we didn't. We waited 2 years afterwards to get engaged.
Okay.
So we,
okay.
I tell everyone that we really got to know each other before we got engaged. And I mean, you still learn things about your spouse, especially when you both become new parents and all of that. But we were from two totally different backgrounds, like different religions, different socioeconomics, like everything was different, but we're like on paper, it looks like we would not work. And then when we started really diving into things, we just kind of like meshed and folded together. It was like yin and yang, you know?
Interesting.
And it just worked so perfectly. It's like a puzzle
piece. Oh, that's nice. That's really nice. I feel, yeah. I feel like that with my husband. Do you guys feel like there is connectivity? Like, where did you find similarities with him then? Rather than you're talking about, you guys were very different, like on paper, but then what are the things that you guys actually do connect on that really brought you to love him and want to be your life partner?
I think it was because we had our basic foundations the same. Like we had we had the same destination. We wanted to be married forever, no divorce. That was a goal. We wanted our children to be multicultural and to experience life and be in different situations. And we were on the same page as that. And then we also loved to travel. We wanted to travel the world and we did. And we just, the very underlying, like the bedrock of our relationship was very similar. Everything that was layered on top of it was different.
Oh, that's actually really wonderful. You know, some people, they meet online, and I've known a lot of people, and I guess you're kind of lucky too, because you didn't really, did you date online at all ever?
My one boyfriend I met on Tinder, and I blame Tinder to this day.
No sponsored, no sponsored content for Tinder.
Never.
Go away, Tinder. But like my 20-year-old nephew lived with us for a minute, and he was trying really hard to like connect with people in a new area.
Yeah.
And it was so sad to like see it. Now I'm not saying it's like always bad, because there's certain ones that like Bumble or whatever, where like the girl makes the first move and like, but it is, I feel like, so great when you can have a story to tell. And man, do you guys have a story, but like, and it's filmed too,
right?
But like Brendan and I, like we come from like very different, right? Like he was a punk rock singer. I was just like, you know, child actor. And then like he, you know, went to Iraq and like, I mean, he saw so many crazy things. And then I was like, just like in a really dark place. And then like, we both just happened to be in the right place at the right time and met in college. Yeah. And so it's interesting that you say the bedrock of who you guys are and what you wanted is what really kept you guys like growing and like probably will continue to keep you guys growing.
Yes.
The one thing I've realized beyond no matter what crazy chaos you guys came from in going forward, is like communication.
Yeah.
And I wonder, do you feel like it was helpful? Like you said, there was like a whole bunch of questions that you guys got out of the way, but like, was it like to your advantage or disadvantage as a new couple in your communication skills? Or did you guys kind of work around that in those 2 years before engagement?
You know, the years leading up to our wedding, when we got engaged, we were like, okay, we have such differences that we're not really clashing on right now, but we need to get ahead of. So
good for you.
We went to couples counseling, like premarital couples counseling.
I did that before we got pregnant. Yep. Great.
I feel like everyone needs to do that.
They really do.
Yes.
They suggest it, actually. They do suggest it before marriage, but it's more or less like, oh, we'll go see a priest or, oh, we'll go see somebody in the church and we'll just get it off the list of things to do.
Yes.
But I think that there is a reason for it, for sure.
And like for his rabbi to marry us, I had to do an intro to Judaism. So we had, and he was also exploring church with me. So we were intertwining our faiths. And then we went to going to the chuppah, which was like learning about our journey through marriage. And then we went to counseling for how we were going to raise our children once we did enter this interfaith relationship. And
right.
So on and so forth. And that really weeded out some things I knew we would cross, but we went ahead and got ahead of, just like
smart.
Divorce. What are we going to do if we ever get divorced? Because even though we both say, oh, we want to love each other forever, like,
yeah,
what's set in place? What is mine? What is your, like, we did all of that before we even get there. So
interesting.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. Yeah. We learned a lot, but these are things that we would have. I mean, we will get to the point in our life, like, what do we raise our baby? You know, religion, do we raise our baby? And we already hashed that out together. Like, we are on the same page about that. So
amazing.
By the time we were pregnant, it was okay. You know, we got it worked out.
It's so important. So many people don't realize that stuff. And it's like 50, I guess, what is it? Like 49% of marriages end in divorce, which I'm honestly, we're knock on wood for you and me.
Yeah.
You
Where's
and
the
me.
Where's the wind?
Because that's the thing is like, is if you take it for granted and you're not coming from a place, this is just my opinion. If you're taking it for granted and you're not growing and learning and trying to learn to listen and like be present, I feel like that's when it slips out of your control or rather out of focus, you know what I mean?
Totally.
And like I think once it's gone, you really can't get it back. Right?
Absolutely.
I don't think people realize that. Like, it's worth fighting for, like, preventatively. And I think if anything, Bachelor might have helped you realize what's worth fighting for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And someone gave me the best marriage advice to this day. I still quote it to like my friends getting married. The best advice I've ever gotten is that everyone says relationships are 50-50. It's not. It's 100-100 because at one point in your marriage, you're going to be on 1% and your partner has to pick up the 99 and then vice versa. So like, it's always 100-100. So that other person can kind of come to where you are and vice versa when they get there. So I love that. And that's so true.
Yeah. And then even if they don't ever get to that 1%, you'll have so much surplus of love and understanding that like there really is that goodwill that just grows over time. And it's like nourishing it. And it's, and by the way, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's a lot of work to do that.
It is a lot of work. Anything that's good is very hard work. And people just see like Instagram and you're happy and you're like posting about this or that. And no one has any idea how hard you had to fight to get there, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's like, there's like a part of the audience that wants to know that. Then there's a lot of, you know, so many more people don't, they just want the pretty pictures. And so now it's like, you've kind of grown with him and like, of course now you've grown your family, but what was it like realizing how to sort of have your influence monetizable? Like I've seen Ali Fedowowski do a really great job of it too. And I mean like, Are you guys kind of looking to one another to be like, because I know when I started monetizing, I looked at like Beverly Mitchell and she was doing all sorts of stuff at the time. And I think she's scaled back now. And I hadn't even had a YouTube channel, but I was like, oh, like I could get free baby stuff. Like that's when I started doing it. I was pregnant and I was like, oh, like this stuff really adds up. And then it was like a whole different thing after like my first big baby, like deal or whatever.
Yes.
And I like literally got to move from LA where they were like screaming homeless people, which is horrible. But at the same time, you don't want to have to raise your child there. Yes. And I was kind of done with LA and I was like, oh, I get to go live by my in-laws in Orange County. And so that influence equaled something I was able to help my family with. So like people don't really, and that's when people hate on sponsored content. I'm like, wait, so you're going to go watch Netflix and Disney and you're going to see all the ads and you're going to see all the placement and you don't even realize it, but then you're going to hate on me just trying to like feed my family.
Right. And like, it's like, if you were offered that, you would do it too. So like, why are
100%.
You hating?
Yeah. I think that the energy, like specifically on TikTok, my experience has been that people hype each other up a lot more. Instagram, I mean like you have some really great fans that I feel like are probably really hyping you up there. I for me, it's been hit or miss. And like, you know, I'm not in the millions and I probably will never be there, but with TikTok,
you absolutely will be.
Oh, you're so sweet. Oh,
100%.
But on you though, sorry. It's like, I keep trying to like chat, and talk about myself, but it's, what was that influence like? Like you knew you had that millions of followers. Was it just growing over time? Were you like plotting like over time?
No, I honestly had no intention. Like I just went into The Bachelor not having any idea or any reference. Like I didn't know you can make money on Instagram. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know I'd wake up and have a million followers. Like that was not my intention. I think that's why I was kind of depressed afterwards. And I didn't know what to do with it. I lived in Arkansas. There's not even an entertainment, like nothing there.
You're like, where am I supposed to take pictures?
Yes. Like in the wheat field, in the rice field. Like what am I?
I mean, that could work, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea what to do with it. So I actually did not start monetizing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when they told me they were considering me, to be the Bachelorette, they told me not to do any sponsored content for a year because they would drop. Wow. You get cut. So a lot of these girls you think are going to be the next Bachelorette, they get cut because they're doing sponsored content.
Wow. Okay. Yes.
So they I didn't hold off. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then I didn't do it for a year. Then that passed and I waited another year because I just didn't know what I was doing. And finally I think it was Amanda Stanton. I don't know if you've ever met
her. Yeah, I know her. I follow her.
She's so sweet. And she said, Raven, it's like in her little voice, Raven, what are you doing? Like you could literally be making so much money. And I just didn't understand. I needed someone to help me get that. Yeah. And so, long story short, I made a plan with Adam and said how I grew up not wealthy, not middle class. Right. Like I lived in, at the school I graduated from, 100% free and reduced lunches because no one's parents at the school made above the poverty line. Mm-hmm. And so I like to hoard money so I don't spend any of it. Mm-hmm. And I was getting to where like, I wouldn't even buy a new pair of shoes. Like someone on Instagram was like, you need a new couch. It's disgusting. I'm like, oh, I kind of do need a new couch. Like it's really bad. Aww. And so Adam taught me how to invest my money. So I'm really grateful to like the partnership that I had with him because he lived this other world I had no idea about. Mm-hmm. And he was able to, once I started, getting deals, he was able to take my money and put it in places where it could last me a little bit longer and grow.
Amazing. Amazing.
And it was just like, I don't know. It's such a weird thing because I fought it for so long. What I was just thrown into, I really did fight it because I just didn't see the value in being popular, famous, or having a following. I didn't see the value. And to be honest, sometimes I still feel that way sometimes because I'm like, is it worth my peace of mind?
Okay.
That's fair. To be on social media all the time. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
This balancing act that I always have, but I come from
And it's tricky because people have been inside of your intimate moments, so to speak, for a while. And so like, you don't get all of the upsides of being famous. You guys get pretty much, anyone who's in reality just gets like, the worst part of it, I think.
Yes, they do. They do.
But like, it's interesting now because all the A-list celebrities like are like with this whole like Amber Heard, Johnny Depp trial, like their intimate moments were publicized in a way that was almost like a reality show in and of itself.
Absolutely.
So like reality is kind of making like some A-listers are becoming more exposed and it's becoming way more a court of opinion for everybody now.
Yes.
Everybody's like, a reality star.
Totally. And like in the early 2000s, you would just maybe see like a bad headline on one of the gossip magazines in the grocery store. And that's
it. Right.
You don't know anything else. And then you see a little clip like, oh, I saw her and she was so rude to me at the restaurant and she was awful. And like those voices were not elevated until now, you know?
Yeah, no, it is.
Whether it's true or not, you don't even know if it's true.
That's the truth. That's absolutely the truth. So in some ways you're kind of Teflon, but you have every right to be like, yo, I've been living like this for a while. I'm done. And now you're a mom. Yeah. And I was so excited to know you even before. And I was excited to follow the pregnancy and like, I was really happy for you. And
yeah, you said the same thing my dad said. You said, that was fast. I said, that's exactly the words my dad said. That was fast.
Oh, that's right. I did. Oh my gosh. That was rude. I'm sorry.
No, it was so funny. I laughed out loud. It was so funny.
I think so I was true. Just like really, I was really happy for you. And obviously if you guys were doing it that fast, it's because you really were excited about yeah. it and you were ready. And
yes.
I mean, how are you doing? Like, let's talk just as two moms, like what's happening?
Oh my gosh.
Is your baby sleeping through the night?
he's in that 4 month sleep regression, but mm-hmm. he's so yeah. good. And like, I was yeah. so ready and I... Good. Hate that so many people, I mean, it is truly yeah. the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's also yeah. the easiest thing I've ever done, if that makes sense. Like,
of course.
I love it. And there are, the days are so long, but
yeah.
the months, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've only had him for 4 months. It, you know, it just flies yeah. by. So I'm kind it of does. Getting a glimpse of what the future holds with that. But everything is so good. I just feel so lucky.
Yeah.
And honestly, I just feel, I've always said my whole life, I'm going to win the lottery. And I do feel like I won the lottery. Like how this has all happened has, I mean, just having my baby and our, my life now, I literally yeah. hit the lottery, no, all seven.
That's good. That's awesome. That's really exciting. So he's been good. He's been a good baby. You
yeah,
know,
awesome.
I think I read somewhere that you had like this, it was an emergency C-section or something.
Yes. Emergency okay. C-section. I pushed him for, oh gosh, for hours. I was probably yeah. in labor for 20 hours and he was just not coming out. Yeah. I started running a fever. He was in distress. So yep. we did the C-section yep. and he was there.
Yep. Isn't it funny how like you have this plan in mind and you're like, okay, like I would like things to happen a certain way. But then when it comes to there, like immediately, like the baby isn't even out of you and you're still thinking in that moment, like do whatever you got to do to get him out. Like, I don't yes. care what happens to me, but like get him out, get the baby out safely and let's go. Like, let's do it right
yes.
away. Like the minute they say.
I even had two epidurals and a spinal block and I still felt everything. I even felt.
Oh girl, I'm sorry.
I felt them cut me open, everything.
Oh,
and all
oh,
I
no.
could do is they're like, "All we have to put you under now." And I said, no, I have to see him as soon as he's here. I have to see him. And all I could think is like, just get him out. Like anyway, just get him out. And
yeah.
He came out.
It's funny. And then what's even crazier is how we heal. Like, yes. like women are straight up unicorns with the way that they can.
Amazing.
Like, right. And it's crazy.
I tell my husband, I have so much respect for single mothers because mm-hmm. it is, oh my gosh, we are not supposed to live our lives like this. We are supposed to have a tribe of women helping
us. Village.
Yes, mm-hmm. a village and like yep. helping us do yep. this. And I just, oh yep. my gosh, the single yep. mothers out there, I just, yep. I truly have an appreciation for them. It's amazing yeah. what they do.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And then it brings you back down to being just so grateful for those that are helpful around you.
Yes.
And like, you know, yeah, no, girl, I know what you're going through. So if you, I really do mean it. Like, please text me if you ever need
yes,
anything.
Yes, you're so sweet. Yes.
And I do, I actually, you know what? I'm supposed to go to Dallas Comic Con. And I wonder if you guys want to come say hi.
Oh, I would love that.
It's going to be not this weekend, but next weekend.
Okay.
It's I'll have to send you the info, but how
yeah,
fun.
Send it
no,
to
no,
me.
It's on the 17th. It's okay. It's the 17th of June. 17th, 18th. And that would be really fun to be able to see you and have.
Yes. I would love that. Love that. We'll cool. do dinner or something. That would be so fun.
Well, thank you for all the tea and the exclusives and all of your wonderful stories.
Thank you for having me. I just feel like I just,
yes, you were
blurted it all out on you. I could talk to you for hours.
Oh, well, thank you, sweetie. And I really do care for you. And I'm super excited about your journey. And like, I can't wait to see what else is coming. Is there anything that you want to like, maybe like maybe mention? Are there things in the works, like, or where can we find you, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I have a website that will be up and running in the next few months that I just, it's a landing place for everything going on in my life, and also just a place, a happy place. When you click it, you're going to be happy and we're just going to be friends. And I
love that.
Yeah, I'm super excited. So that's what I got going on. But you can find me on Instagram, Raven Nicole Gates, and that's it. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Raven, for being on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Vulnerable is hosted by me, Christy Carlson Romano, produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham, and executive produced by Brendan Rooney. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. Follow Vulnerable wherever you listen to podcasts so you can join me every week for a vulnerable conversation. And be sure to follow Vulnerable on Instagram and TikTok @TheVulnerablePodcast. And make sure to tune in to my YouTube to watch the video version.